This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler in Litchfield. By Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City. And by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
Get a tire with stopping power and some extra spending money. Just drop by your local Michelin dealer from August 9th through September 3rd and buy any set of four Michelin brand passenger or light truck tires and get a $70 prepaid card after rebate.
Taylor Tire and Auto on the west side of Tyler Street in Litchfield has the expert tire service you need to take your car's performance to the next level.
See redemption form at participating dealers for complete offer details. Offer expires 9/3/2012. Void where prohibited.
10 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. In electronic trading right now on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat trading at 876 and a half down 7. December wheat trading at 894 and a half down 8 and a half. September corn now trading at $8.75 down 2 and 3 quarter. December corn trading at 804 and a quarter down 4 and a quarter. September soybeans trading at 1764 down 6 and a quarter. November beans trading at 1755 and 3 quarter down 7 and 3 quarter. The overnight crude oil market 51 cents higher at 95.13. The Brent crude 73 cents higher at 113.38. The December gold contract $4 higher at $1,661.10. The U.S. dollar index 0.341 lower at 81.350. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at 883 and a half down 2. December wheat closed at 903 down 2 and 3 quarter. March wheat closed at 911 down 2 and a quarter. September corn yesterday closed at 811 and a half up 1 and a quarter. December corn closed at 808 and a half down a nickel. And March corn closed at 808 and 3 quarter, down 4 and a quarter. September soybeans yesterday ended at 1770 and a quarter, up 7. November beans closed at 1763 and a half, up 10 and a half. January beans closed at 1757 and a half, up 15. September soybean meal yesterday closed at 548.10, up 48. October meal closed at 538.40, up 41. December meal closed at 535.30, up 53. September soybean oil yesterday closed at 56.59, down a nickel. October oil closed at 56.82, down 4. December oil closed at 57.25, down a nickel. September oats yesterday 387 and a half, up a quarter. December oats closed at 395 and a quarter. That was down 3 quarter. The cash grain report is not available on this Friday morning. We'll move along to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. October hogs closed at 74.15, up 45. December hogs closed at 71.80, up 77. February hogs closed at 79.90, up 82. August cattle yesterday closed at 119.65, up a quarter. October cattle closed at 125.50, unchanged. December cattle closed at 128.45, down a nickel. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 140.17, down 22. September feeders closed at 143.30, down 40. October feeders closed at 144.90, that was up a dime. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Thursday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 3,290 head today. They traded $1.95 lower from $63 to $75 with a weighted average of $73.35. And in Illinois today, there was 10,665 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a hog carcass was down 99 cents today at $81.60. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report, sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 32 to 35, 4 to 5 weights from 34 to $38, and over 500 pounds from 37 to 40. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again this morning from $50 to $54. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Thursday, hogs are at 431,000 on the day. That's up 7,000 from last week and up 15,000 from the same time last year. Cattle are at 124,000 on the day. That's down 3,000 from last week and down 7,000 from last year. USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 138 fabricated loads and 19 trim loads. Choice carcasses were down 9 cents at $1.9083, while selects fell by 92 pennies at $1.803, leaving the choice select spread at $10.80. At the Greenville Livestock Auction on Wednesday, they had 411 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold mostly 50 cents to a dollar higher, while slaughter Holstein steers, cows, and bulls traded steady. Choice steers from $1.14.5 to $1.17, while select and choice cattle were at $1.08.5 to $1.14.50. Choice Holsteins from $1.09 to $1.13, and choice heifers from $1.14.5 to $1.20, while select and choice heifers were at $1.10 to $1.14. In the slaughter cow division, you had boning type cows from $69 to $75 and lean cows from $63 to $70.50. At the Walnut Livestock Auction on Thursday, the opening report, they estimate 525 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading steady. Choice steers at $1.15 to $1.20, while choice Holsteins were from $1.05 to $1.09, and choice heifers from $1.1575 to $1.1875.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. For butter, 184 unchanged. For block cheese, 185 and three quarter, down one and a quarter. For barrel cheese, 180 and three quarter, down a quarter. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, 1911. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for August, 820. And for September, 799. Corn delivered to Scottville for August, 820, and for September, 799. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, 1734, and for September, 1735. Wheat delivered to Scottville for August, 835. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield or Scottville, $8.20, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $17.34, and wheat at Scottville, $8.35. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Time now for a check of Color Radar weather, and at this time, Color Radar in the Weather Center is showing a few areas of scattered light showers pretty much south of I-70 and moving slowly to the north. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
With the heat and drought of this summer, many lawns need to be overseeded to thicken back up. Give Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS a call. They prepare the soil by working and leveling before seeding a new lawn. They can choose from many different grass seed mixtures to fit your needs. For a free estimate, call Tim Rothy at 1-800-962-9600. 7331. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS is a service of M&M Service Company. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Becoming cloudy today with a chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. High temperatures in the upper 80s and light southeast winds. Tonight, cloudy skies with heavy rain possible at times. Low temperatures in the mid-70s. For tomorrow, Saturday, once again, cloudy skies with heavy rain possible at times. High temperatures in the low 80s. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers. Sunday and Labor Day Monday, low temperatures in the upper 60s, highs in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, light east winds, the barometric pressure is steady. Partly cloudy skies at this time and right now, 73 degrees. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
See Mike Altman and the gang at Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair on West Route 16 in Nokomis, your complete service center from bumper to bumper. They've been doing the job right since 1987. Nokomis Tire and Auto specializes in all brands of tires, as well as wheel alignment and general auto repair. Make Nokomis Tire and Auto your first stop. Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, your bumper to bumper service center. Call 217-563-2614.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Friday morning by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive. And in our farm news on this Friday morning, earlier this week, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink, and he talked about the area's soybean crop.
The soybean crop is really interesting this year. The benchmark field that I've gone to all summer, I think I've seen the yield increase probably 20 bushel in the past several weeks. Several weeks ago, you know, it looked like about 10 bushel per acre, and now recently I was out there and it looks like it's probably going to be at least 30, maybe 35 bushel per acre. So these rains that we've had recently have really helped the yield. Now, there's some yellow spots out in some of these fields. There's a number of different reasons why these yellow spots have occurred. Early in the growing season could be a potassium deficiency because potassium moves by mass flow into the plant, and we didn't have a lot of rain. So even though the potassium was there, it was not moving into the plant because there was no water to carry them into. Spider mites, you know, were a problem when it was very hot and dry, but since we've had the few rains here recently, that's not much of a problem. Probably the two main diseases that we're seeing are charcoal rot, of course, and we've talked about charcoal rot before. This is a disease that, you know, as the name might indicate, likes hot weather. But interestingly, there is a new disease that I'm seeing in this benchmark field that I go to. It's called soybean vein necrosis virus. And as it indicates, this is a viral disease spread by thrips. And if you look at it very carefully, there are some yellow patches right around the vein of the soybean leaf, the upper leaf. And that's where thrips tend to feed on. So this is a virus disease. Probably at this point, it's not too much of a problem yet. I don't think it's going to cause any yield reduction this year, but it is kind of interesting that it's showing up. It first showed up, I think, in 2008 in Kentucky or Tennessee or one of the southern states, and now it has spread throughout the Corn Belt. So this is a viral disease. We're going to have to watch here. I'm sure as time goes on, we'll get more information about that. But it starts out as yellow spotches on patches on the leaf. And then as they mature, you know, a portion of the leaf will turn brown and, you know, the rest of the leaf may remain green. Not to be confused with sudden death syndrome. That's altogether different different disease. But soybean vein necrosis is something we're going to be watching here probably in the future.
That sudden death syndrome, doesn't that usually occur a little bit earlier in the growing cycle?
Yeah, and the sudden death syndrome, the infection actually occurs way back, you know, shortly after it's planted. When we have wet, cool conditions after planting, that's when, you know, the disease kind of starts, but then it doesn't really show itself. And many of these diseases don't show itself until the reproductive stages. And we are in the, you know, R4, R5 in some cases R6. So that's when a lot of these diseases start showing up, is when we get into these middle to later reproductive stages.
You mentioned earlier with the vein necrosis, thrips. What are thrips?
Thrips, very much like spider mites, aphids. They're a piercing, sucking type of insect. They transmit, they'll feed on different weeds, the crops, and then, this virus, they're a vector for this virus. So it's just a very, very small insect. It's not really an insect, but insect type. And I notice some states are even suggesting treatment for thrips. But, this is something you never really know. You can really never see in the field. And, we don't like to put down a pesticide unless we really think we're controlling something. So it's going to be interesting to see in future years, whether there's going to be a recommendation for thrip control in soybeans to control this viral disease.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. The United States Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service will start gathering final information on the 2012 small grains crops. National Agricultural Statistics Service Operations Center Director Bob Bass says now is the time to collect these final numbers.
We've just finished harvesting the small grains, wheat, oats, barley, and rye, and it's time for us to get an accurate, timely indication of actual acres harvested and the yield, but more importantly, what was the final production from these grain crops? Also, it's important to know how much of that crop is stored on the farms and in commercial holdings. The final production is important, but also what is currently stored is another piece of the puzzle as far as the total supply available.
Nearly 73,000 producers will also be surveyed for final information on small grains crops, as well as current inventories of hogs and pigs. Bass says all of the information gathered from the surveys is important to all producers, especially crop storage information, with the drought most of the U.S. has experienced this year. Farmers make decisions every day that affect their bottom line, according to Bass, and he says they can make those decisions accurately when they have more information on what exactly is going on in agriculture. Mr. Bass says the surveys give producers an overall picture of the agriculture community, which is why he says it is so important for producers to participate.
To complete that picture, you need to know production, and you also need to know what has been stored or is stored. So that gives the farmers an indication. So the producers themselves make decisions based on what market conditions are currently or projected to be, and they make their decisions based on that analysis. In addition, those that store the grain, those that market the grain, those that transport the grain, those that process the grain, they're all vital users of this current, accurate, timely information. That gives a better picture of agriculture. It reduces risk, so everybody benefits. Everybody has the same information at the same time, and it provides stability and reduces risk to agriculture.
Questionnaires have already been mailed out, and Mr. Bass encourages producers to fill it out and return it by mail or online so the National Agricultural Statistics Service can get an accurate picture for these September surveys. For those who don't respond, Bass says the NASS will be calling them to increase the number of participants and make sure the reports are accurate and useful as possible. The surveying will end on September the 17th. With the fall fertilizer application season rapidly approaching in some parts of the country, DTN's weekly report on fertilizer prices shows the price of anhydrous ammonia 7% higher than a month ago. Anhydrous is now averaging $817 a ton, the highest average price since November of 2011. On the other hand, the average price of urea was down 10% from a month ago. Urea's average price has dropped $155 a ton since Memorial Day. North Dakota State University soils specialist Dave Franson says even at current prices, fertilizer remains a good investment.
Did an economic analysis and compared the price of the wheat with the price of the fertilizer, and the most important thing in that whole equation is really the price of the crop. The price of the fertilizer doesn't really influence rate until the crop price is very low, until you get down to $3 wheat and, God forbid, $2 corn, and then the price of fertilizer becomes a major issue. But with the prices this high, the price of fertilizer itself is really not an issue at all.
As long as crop prices remain strong, Franson says, fertilizer prices will remain strong as well. The United States Department of Agriculture says this year's corn crop is the smallest since the mid-90s, and that's just one problem farmers are facing. As Todd Gleason reports, just getting what's in the field off the cob may be the next big hurdle.
It's like adding insult to injury. Not only will U.S. corn farmers harvest an exceedingly small corn crop this fall, it will also be a very difficult task. University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger says getting the corn off the cob, it just won't be easy.
So people are already asking, well, how do we set a combine to take, you know, scattered kernels off of an ear? Because the cobs tend to break up, and as conditions deteriorate, the stalks are going to be weak. The cobs may be fairly soft. It may be really difficult to rip those kernels off of the ear.
It is no small worry. Leaving kernels on the ear leaves part of the harvest, the income, in the field and increases the chances this year's crop will become next year's weed, that in the form of volunteer corn. And that is just the beginning of the problem. Nafziger says one fix is a trade-off. It is to allow the crop to dry down naturally in the field.
The more we let them dry down, of course, the kernels will come off the ears a little bit easier. The problem is if we have scattered kernels, though, they tend to maybe be a little larger than normal kernels. They're kind of rounded out, and they might cling to the cob pretty tightly. And so that'll be another challenge that we'll have to face. And you can simply test this before harvest by going out there and taking some ears and just trying to shell them off by hand. If it's really difficult to get the kernels off by hand, it's going to be hard for the combine to get them off as well. And we, of course, have to look at setting the stripper plates up at the corn head to make sure we pop those ears off. That may not be very easy in some cases either.
So this year's harvest may go quickly because there is so little to bring in, but it won't go easily. It will take some time for farmers to set combines correctly. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Pinterest is the fastest growing social media of 2012. Pork Checkoff Digital Marketing Manager Kathy Lee Ferguson describes Pinterest as an online visual pinboard. The Pork Checkoff is seen as an innovator on Pinterest. Ms. Fredrickson was featured in a digital media forum in Chicago to highlight that activity.
Luckily, we have a very visual product, and we have a really passionate following of people who love pork. So how we've really harnessed Pinterest is taking all the great photography we have of pork recipes and pork tipping tips and cooking ideas and putting those out there for other people to share with their friends. And we've seen spikes in traffic to our website from those recipes we've put out. But then on the other hand, it's a great way that we continue our relationships with bloggers, food bloggers, and any food influencers out there on the internet, because we're taking all the great pork content they're creating and also repinning that and putting that on our boards as well. So it's a relationship builder and also a great promotion tool for new recipes that we have.
During the social media conference, Ms. Fredrickson was part of a panel discussion highlighting brand marketing. Two other brands were also highlighted.
Apartment Therapy, which is a wildly popular blog, and also McDonald's Corporation and Saper Law Firm. We were all on a panel talking about how different brands use Pinterest and just kind of tips and tricks for brands thinking of getting into the social media.
And for more information, you can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to www.pork.org. Coming up on the Saturday Farm Show, our guest is Holly Steinmeier of White City. Holly and her husband John are involved with the Thoroughbreds Helping Thoroughbreds program. We'll talk about that and an upcoming horse show they will host on September 30th. The Saturday Horse Show tomorrow at 6:15 and 12:45 on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Also coming up this weekend, the 26th annual Abe's Lincoln Land Farm Toy Show. It will be held at the Magnuson Grand Hotel north of Litchfield at exit 60 on I-55. Coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday from 9 until 2:30 each day. An auction will be held Saturday at 10:30. A model and display contest Sunday at 1:30. And on electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, September wheat now trading at 875. That is down 8.5. December wheat trading at 894. That's down 9. September corn trading at 810.25, down 1.25. December corn trading at 805.75, down 2.75. September beans now trading at 1765, down 5.25. November beans trading at 1756.75, down 6.75. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday morning, brought to you by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive.